If you are newer, you've come on a good Sunday because we're starting a brand spanking new series. It's an eight-week series, and it's called, as our sermon intro here showed and our slide here says, it's called First Love, Capturing a Vision for Why We Follow Jesus. Think about this for a moment. Capturing a vision for why we follow Jesus. I think this has to be an honest question that we all ask, at least from time to time, and I think this morning it's a perfect place to ask it. Why? If you are a follower of Jesus here this morning, and for however long you have followed Jesus, it's so important to understand the question of why. Why do I go to church? Why do I give my time or money? Why do I kind of frame how I look at life through the lens of faith? Why? What's the big picture in all of this? Is it just, you know, sometimes it's so easy to get stuck in the everyday that we go, 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 and we forget to step back and wonder why. If you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, like I said, you are welcome. And I just want to say, too, you are not in the wrong series. I'm not asking you, you know, this isn't for you. Just please come back in 8 weeks and we'll have something more for you. Not at all. Because I hope that through this, these 8 weeks, that you would hear maybe a little bit about the faith that your maybe friend or family member who came with you this morning has. Maybe you would see things here that maybe you don't see all Christians acting in a certain way or they should, but it's kind of how we should see why we do what we do. So with that, let me just tell you, here's the big picture of the 8 weeks, okay? I'll just give you just the big picture of where we're going for the next 2 months, is that we would all, every single one of us, understand just a little bit more clearly this extravagant love of God. Nothing, Siri. Thank you. I'm good. My watch is talking to me. Awkward. That we would all just grab a little bit more of a picture. And so I know fall, we run. You know, when we get busy and our, like I said, our schedule gets full. Can we just take a step back for a moment? Can we just allow ourselves to breathe and actually think of why we do what we do in a spiritual sense? If you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm so glad you're here because I want you to understand this is why Christians strive to do what they do, or at least we should strive to do it. Perhaps you watched or are watching the end of the Olympics right now. Any Olympics fans in here? A few of you. I watched them, and I was like, honestly, in my mind, I just keep thinking, I am so there. Like, I could actually do some of these things. And then I realized my body's not where my mind is. Although I was very happy to see that there was a beach volleyball guy who was 44 years old playing this year. And I'm like, he's almost as old as me. I'm like, there's hope for me. So next Olympics, if you see me out there, you'll know why I took a chance and I made it. So anyway, but beyond the competition itself, what I love about the Olympics is all these stories that come out of the stories of humanity and the stories of relationships and the stories of so many things. Well, one particular story took place in 1992, 32 years ago. It was about a man named Derek Redmond. Now, Derek was a 400-meter sprinter from the UK, and 6 months before these Olympics, he tore his hamstring. However, through a lot of recuperation and recovery, he recovered, and he was racing in the Olympics, hoping to medal. So he had pretty high hopes, not just to finish, but actually to medal. Well, he got through his heats, and he was in the 400-meter semifinal. And after a blistering start, all the runners were along the backstretch, and he was doing really, really well when all of a sudden you could see him go down because he tore his hamstring in the middle of the race. He went down in a heap, and with his medal hopes dashed, because everybody obviously finished him and passed him, he got up, and instead of laying down and staying down, he got up and tried to finish the race. And after some agonizing moments, another figure ran onto the track, his father Jim, to help his son finish the race. And so let's watch this moment and see what happens.
Thank you.
Isn't that so great? His dad is like, buzz off, get out of here. I've got my son. Thank you very much. But it's just, I wanted to show that because it's just such a beautiful picture of who God is and his love for us. And as we live our lives, I think we can easily get away from understanding the position that God has in our lives. When asked why he helped his son, Jim simply said, it's because I'm his father and that's what fathers do. So I told him that he had nothing to prove, but he wanted to finish the race, and so I helped my son over that line. See, this is the rescuing and persistent love of God that is available to all of us this morning. And hopefully we can take a breath and maybe just stop and just picture and understand in a new way God's love for us. This is the big picture of these next 8 weeks. This is the picture of these next 8 weeks. Listen to Jesus' words. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. And what? I will give you more to do. I will stress you out and make you busier. No, he says, I will give you rest. I will be that strong shoulder that you can cry on, that you can lean on, that I will help you walk through life in all seasons. And so do we believe this morning? Do we believe that the persistent and rescuing love of God is here for us this morning? There's a preacher, his name is Charles Spurgeon. He lived a few years ago in 1883. And he says these beautiful words. He says, believe me, if you have but a spark of desire for Christ, he has a whole furnace of desire after you. Let me say that again. Believe me, if you have but a spark of desire after Christ, he has a whole furnace of desire after you. I think we miss everything if we miss this. And so with that, can we just stop? And I want to pray and just allow us a breath to see God's love. Father, this is truly what not only our lives should be about, but the church should be about, is grabbing a hold of how much you actually love us. And so would you give us a new picture of that today? Would you allow us a bit of margin in life just to stop and think about why we do what we do? And we thank you that you are always a good father to us. So Holy Spirit, come and have your way this morning. Amen. Amen. So I don't want to just to park that, but I want to just keep that in your brain as far as the big picture. This is why we're here. God's love for us. This is huge. Now, let me talk about this week a little bit more. Okay. So this week, I want to ask you a question is this, do you remember the first time you fell in love with someone or something? Someone or something you fell in love. There's a friend, she's a Yorksonite, she's been attending here for a while, and I know that a few years ago she started camping. And if you asked her where her happy place is, for sure in a moment's notice, she would tell you it's in a campground with her trailer, enjoying creation. It's just like that's her sweet spot, that's her happy place. My father-in-law, who's visiting from out of town, who's here in town for a few days, I know that for him, life is just better and happier if he's got a fishing rod in his hand. It just is. By the way, when we went up to visit them this summer, I went fishing for the first time, and I caught my very own first fish. Thank you very much. Some of you are like, have you been under a rock your entire life? Not all of us have the privilege of fishing, but I caught my first fish, and we were going to release it, but the hook was through its eye. I won't tell you how big the fish was, because A, I don't really remember, but as fishing stories I've been told go, it just kind of starts like this and then it gets bigger. So I'll just tell you it was just around here, all right? Something like that. It was a big fish, but I was proud of that. Maybe for some of you, it might not be camping or fishing, but maybe it's another hobby. Maybe it's crocheting. Maybe it's gardening. Some of you athletes here, you remember the first time, you know, you put runners on and you experienced runner's high from running, and you just felt like you could run forever, or you laced up the skates, or you jumped in the pool. You're like, I was born to do this. Maybe for some of us, it's when our heart began to pitter-patter after someone else. I don't know when that happened for you, but I just still think of my grade 7 love. It was with Krista Tunnelly in grade 7. And I just remember looking at her. I'm like, what are these feelings I feel? This is weird, but I kind of like them because, like, she's beautiful and all that kind of stuff. Others of you, maybe it's just having a long talk with a new friend. And you're like, I think I've just met my best friend. It's just we click over everything, and it's awesome. Well, a follow-up question for that is this. What's happened since then? What's happened since then? Maybe for some of those hobbies, it has actually grown into more of a devotion for you. Maybe for those of you who jumped in the pool, now maybe you've regularly do swimming competitions. Maybe you regularly swim from Vancouver to Victoria. I don't know what you do, but you just love swimming. Maybe you crochet lots of things. Maybe some of those friendships that began maybe in, you know, elementary school, you've kept them for 30, 40, 50 years, and you're still best friends with that person. What else happens, though, is that our love actually can grow colder over time. And this is just natural, right? We're not friends as we were with everybody in elementary school. Maybe you've kept one if you're lucky. The rest, you probably don't remember their names. You certainly don't know what they're doing in life. Maybe you've creeped them on Facebook and you know, but other than that, you don't know. But other things that we started in life actually start to grow cold just simply for a number of different reasons. And it happens. Well, this happens in many arenas of life. Hobbies, friendships, marriages, but it can also, this growing colder can actually happen spiritually as well. And the Bible talks about a certain group that this happened to. And I want to just explain them to you for a few minutes this morning. This is a church in the city of Ephesus 2,000 years ago. So I want to bring us back 2,000 years ago in time to the city of Ephesus. The city of Ephesus was a port city. This kind of gives you an idea in the Mediterranean there with Greece and some of the other areas. You can kind of picture that today. It's a port city, west coast, almost kind of actually like Vancouver. It was big and it was bustling. They did a number of, so much trade. Their port was always busy and there was always bringing in new people, new trades, more money. There was also temples set up to multiple gods. This city was thriving. They didn't know exactly what they believed, but they were all out there. And in the middle of this, this follower of Jesus named Paul is a missionary, goes out to the city of Ephesus, and he starts to gather people because he tells them about Jesus and they want to start following him. So this church begins about 15 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. So Paul began the church, but the apostle John, pretty big figure in the Bible, he becomes the pastor over this church in Ephesus. On top of that, two very prominent, wealthy, and important women of the day, their names are Priscilla and Aquila, they were missionaries there, and even, get this, just a name drop, someone else who attended there, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is said to be, she lived in Ephesus and attended and was part of this church. Can you imagine that? You're walking in, you're like, morning, Fred. Morning, Tim. Morning, Mary. How you doing? How was your week? Oh, good. By the way, thank you for what you've done. You know, it's like, wow, celebrity church, it feels like in a sense. But not only were there some really cool people that attended this church in Ephesus, but the Bible actually points out that this church was doing so many great things. Like, this church was hopping, and they just had so many things, and people knew this, and they were excited about the church. So in fact, listen to what it says about this church in Ephesians chapter 4. There's a whole letter written to this church. And it says in verse 2, it says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and I know your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people. This wasn't just like people who didn't attend church, but this was people who tried to come in and subvert the church and kind of throw it all up in the air. But it says here, you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name. Isn't that, You just feel like give each other a high five. You know, like, this is so good. You have persevered. You have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. There's a vitality of life about you. Hi, guys. But in all of this celebration, listen to this. Jesus says to them these words, "And yet in all of this, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. You have forsaken the love you had at first. You are still persevering. You are still enduring hardships. You have not grown weary, but full stop. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. You have walked away from the entire reason why we gathered as a church in the first place. Something has blurred the eyes. It's maybe the love with the clarity that they had before." And get this, again, remember this. This is a church that is so sound in the doctrine. My guess is they maybe did a setup church just like us. And maybe they ran potlucks, you know, once every couple of months, just like us. Like, they were thriving, they were busy, they were baptizing new believers, and they were in a really good place for what they were doing. And yet, they cooled in their love for God. They were once vibrant, but through a whole host of different reasons, there was a slow cooling of love in their relationship with God. Now, again, kind of go back to something that you used to be involved in and used to love, and you just don't do it anymore. Why has that taken place? I remember when I was in primary school, especially through grades like 3 to 5, 3 to 6, I was a voracious, that's the right word here, I devoured books. I was a reader. Is voracious the right word? Yeah, it's okay. Thank you. That's awesome. I sound smart when I say that, right? It's like, I was voracious. You're like, whoa, Jeff, that's great. But honestly, like, I remember reading upwards of 75 to 100, 150 books in a school year. Now, granted, they weren't all like Les Mis or 1,200 pages long, but I still read a lot of books. Thank you very much. And whenever we had reading competitions in the church, everybody else tried for second place. It's just how it was. I was like, yep, Jeff won again. Like, oh, Mr. like reader here. I just devoured books all the time. But I can guarantee you my family hears this, who are not here. They don't hear this. Never mind. Awkward. Those who know me better hear this and maybe laugh a bit on the inside because they know that I just don't read that much at all. I've been working on a book. You know, our whole family has a summer book that they've been reading. Well, some of them are on books 5, 6, 7. I'm still on book 1, and I'm not quite halfway done yet. It's a really good book. I like the book. It's not that it's boring. I don't have that same passion that I had. I don't read 75 or 100 books a year. Okay, I have to be honest here. We're in a safe place. Once Michelle, so in one of my classes for school, I'm such a slow reader. Michelle read the book for me, and I wrote the review for it. and I got a passing grade on it. So that's awkward. Maybe it just destroys my reputation as a pastor. I don't know. But again, I'm just so slow. But I think about this sometimes. I'm like, why don't I read more? What happened to my love for reading? Well, it's not like I woke up one day and I just said, nah, I don't feel like doing this anymore. Like, I'm not a reader. What I realize is that just a slow, gradual cooling of love has happened over the years. When suddenly you get busy, suddenly there's new technology that allows you to go do other stuff, suddenly there's to-do lists, and suddenly there's other priorities. And it just keeps getting pushed and pushed and pushed down the field. It's a slow cooling of love. I think a slow cooling of our love for God can happen as well. And I think we would be ignorant if we didn't ever believe this. And it can happen for a variety of reasons. Maybe it just kind of cools over the seasons, which turn into years. Maybe we become busy. Maybe we become distracted. Maybe we become disillusioned. And our questions don't get answered the way we want them to. And so we don't necessarily wake up one day and go, I'm tired of this whole loving God thing. But we start this slow cooling of love where we get into a place where we actually overhear when we look back and go, remember that? Do you remember over here when you first tasted God's love and you understood him to love us? Just like we saw in the video. Maybe it was that first time when we understood grace and we received grace when we're like, I don't deserve any of this, but God is giving it to me. And somehow, over the years, we've come over this spot, which is just actually so far from where we were. Now, I'm not saying we're the church in Ephesus. Let me just say that as well. I think all of us are maybe probably in different places. So if you're here and you're in an amazing place with Jesus, I just want to say, keep that going. If I can somehow fan that flame more for you, I love that. But maybe some of us are here and in our heart, we would never say it out loud, but we would say it, you resonate with a slow cooling of love. That we're not where we were before. And actually, to be honest, we're not sure where we want to be. I think we're called, and I think God invites us because he's a good father to us, is that he invites us back, not to doing more, not necessarily to giving more, but I think he invites us back to understand the big picture of his love for us, because that's where everything starts. I think he's calling us to rekindle our love for him then as well, and let this be the place in which we do the rest of life. So what does it mean to rekindle our love? Well, if you've ever experienced a campfire, when the fire is dying, does it just naturally start itself again? The answer is no, right? If the fire is dying, you need to put kindling on the fire in order to help the fire start to burn again. We need to do something, some accelerant, something to get that fire going. Because if left to itself, it's actually going to continue to fade this way more and more. A campfire, then if it starts to rain, it gets cold, you know, suddenly it's actually never, ever going to start on its own again. But even if there's just a few embers there, we can either put paper or kindling in, and as we start to blow on it, you know, and start to do this a little bit, suddenly it starts to rekindle. It starts to go brighter again. Do we want that this fall? Do we want that at all this fall? Remember Charles Spurgeon, he says, believe me, if you have but a spark of desire after Christ, he has a whole furnace of desire after you. I've been a pastor for a few years now, and I just want to say my ambition for us as a Yorkson community in this area of Yorkson and Willoughby, my goal is not for us to do more necessarily in and of itself. So if I said, you know, if all of us can just do 10 acts of kindness a day, man, we'll be just being so much better as a church. Or if you want to memorize the entire Bible, like all 66 books, please do that because it will show your love a little bit more. Like that's my goal as a pastor, is to get all of us to memorize scripture, at least in three different languages. All right, can we do that? That's great. It's not that. It's not that we do 10x of kindness today. It's not that we give all of our money away. It's not that our reaction is whenever we stub our toe and we're like, ah, that's okay. That's okay. You know, like, that's my reaction for all of us. It's great. No. It's that all of us would understand God's great love for us, but also how to rekindle our love for Jesus.